While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today, for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria on hard, non-porous surfaces around your home with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Kezar to the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. Ready to talk about offensive free agent targets for the San Francisco 49ers. Free agency is rapidly approaching, and the 49ers have some decisions to make. Who are they going to bring back? Who is going to fill the holes that they have left on offense? And we know that everyone wants certain positions taken care of. Offensive line is definitely one of the most pressing. 49ers just decided that they were going to bring back Colt McKivitz on a one-year extension worth $7 million. And a lot of people not so happy about Colt McKivitz coming back. And yes, Colt McKivitz coming back, what does that mean? Well, we'll talk about that in just a second before we talk about offensive line. But there's other positions as well. John Lynch has already brought up that they need tight end too. Is it going to be Cameron Latu? Is it going to be Braden Willis, who they spent draft picks on last season? Latu, a third-round comp pick who pretty much was redshirted the whole year because of him getting hurt at the end of training camp and the end of the preseason. 49ers have decisions at tight end, too. They want to get better. Charlie Warner's a free agent. Ross Dwelly's a free agent. I do think Charlie Warner will be a target for the 49ers to bring back, but finding a dual-threat tight end is something the 49ers have been looking to do for a while. Now, when you look at the quarterback position, Sam Darnold's probably going to go. Yeah, you could probably bring back Brandon Allen, but the 49ers have been very in tune with having three quarterbacks. This is a debacle that happened in 2022. It went through a bunch of quarterbacks. Lance got hurt. Jimmy got hurt. Brock got hurt. And eventually Josh Johnson got hurt. So having three quarterbacks that can handle the job is what the 49ers are looking for. So they need to make sure they have a quarterback, too, they feel comfortable with. Might just be Brandon Allen. They might feel comfortable with him. Or they might need to bring somebody else in. They could also draft a player. likelihood is the 49ers come up with three quarterbacks and draft someone and have a little bit of a competition, especially if they get a player on a cheap contract. When you look at other positions the 49ers have to fill, they might have to fill a role at the wide receiver position. Now, the expectation is your top three guys are going to come back. They're going to tender Juwan Jennings if they can't reach an extension before Wednesday's deadline, which means they'll have their top three guys back. Ayuk is still under contract. Debo's not going anywhere. The money that they would take in dead cap space. I know a lot of people are looking to move on from Ayuk or Debo or Juwan. Those don't make sense to me. I think they're all going to be back for the 2024 campaign at least. But Ray McLeod more than likely is going to move on. 49ers are going to potentially have to fill wide receiver four. And wide receiver four being a player that could fill that Z role left by Debo is going to be an important role. There might be a player the 49ers could plug and play and have available in case Debo is hurt. I'm going to talk about him in this episode. But also, you have positions at wide receiver you have to fill as far as who is Ronnie Bell and is Danny Gray the player they think he is? Or is he a guy that now they're kind of pushing the brakes on? He hasn't played very much in the last two seasons. 49ers have decisions at wide receiver that they have to make as well. So, yes, there's a running back or two they could potentially be involved in as far as filling that running back four. We'll mention a name or two, but we're going to put the focus on those other positions for the 49ers. Thank you guys so much for watching. Like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. 49ers Cutback on Believe. Give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use your promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. And for me, it's going to start with offensive line. This has been the one that we think is the most pressing. Now, Colton McKivitt's coming back. What does that reveal? Well, I think it reveals that they value Colton McKivitz. It doesn't mean that they think he's the end-all, be-all at right tackle. It doesn't even mean when we start the season he will be the starting right tackle. But they have made sure that in case things don't work out in the draft and they don't get one of those top guys they feel can step in, that Colton McKivitz is ready to go. Because the truth is, getting one of those top eight tackles does not guarantee that tackle is going to step in day one and start for the San Francisco 49ers. Rookies have struggled, even offensive linemen, within Kyle Shanahan's system to acclimate to the offense. Now, Spencer Burford was able to start his rookie season at guard with a lot of support and help from Daniel Brunskill, with a lot of support and help from having a steady hand in Mike McGlinchey at right tackle, a veteran. We've seen Mike McGlinchey struggle in his rookie season, even though he was getting a lot of nurturing from Joe Staley and from that coaching staff. So someone being able to step in is going to be very difficult for a right tackle. The truth is, one of those guys might not be able to start day one. So making sure you have a Colton McKivitz is important. Plus, you have to make sure, even though you've heard from Trent Williams that he expects to play two more seasons, that you have Colton McKivitz in case you need to swing him to the other side, whether it's injury or whatever. You have a right tackle that you've drafted. You don't want him playing left tackle during the season when Trent gets hurt. But having Colton McKivitz available to be able to do that's important. So making sure you keep him on the team is important as well. He just started 20 games for your football team, a season that went through the playoffs and Super Bowl. And so he's very experienced now. He's very comfortable in his first after one season of starting. It was a good move by the 49ers. Does it mean he's going to start at right tackle? I think it means he probably will, but it doesn't mean that that's the overall goal. If they get one of those tackles in the draft, and there's some of them that I really like, they get one of those guys that falls to 31, they have a shot to compete and beat out Colton McKivitz, and I think a lot of people would be happy about that. 49ers are just making sure that if all of a sudden all eight of those top guys you believe can step in and potentially compete with McKivitz are gone, you have at least McKivitz for the next 2 years to make sure you have the proper guy. But let's talk about some offensive linemen. Most of them aren't going to be tackles. Tackles are hard to come by. Either they're too expensive or they're just not good enough to be outplay Colton McKivitz. And that's the truth. McKivitt's got 34th best offensive tackle money. I think that's pretty equivalent to what he is. And I think the 49ers know they got the same play out of him they got out of Mike McGlinchey the year before. Almost identical numbers across the board. But let's start at guard with a high-priced guy that's been linked to the 49ers a ton, and that's Robert Hunt. Robert Hunt is a very good football player, and the 49ers have been tied to him a lot over the last year or two, and especially when he was coming out in the draft. And now that he's becoming a free agent, guys really want to make him a part of this San Francisco 49ers football team. So Robert Hunt is set to get a big contract. He's looking to make over $11 million a year. And the 49ers have been fearful of paying guards a lot of money. Laken Tomlinson's contract came up, and he got $13-plus million to go to the New York Jets, and they let him go. They were not going to pay over $10 million for Laken Tomlinson. So would they pay over $10 million for Robert Hunt? I don't think so. I don't think the 49ers put enough value at the guard spot to pay somebody over $10 million. Now, the 49ers have to make a move at guard. We don't know what Spencer Burford's going to be. He did have a sophomore slump, so a guard coming in would not surprise. You got John Feliciano. You could potentially bring him back. John Lynch talked about the fact he would like to bring him back. So the 49ers definitely want to make something happen at the guard spot. You've got a couple of options, and I think Hunt is one of those. Just don't know if that's the splash the 49ers are looking for. I think he's a good player. I think he would be great for this 49ers offense. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think they're going to pay that much. I think if they want to pay that much, it's going to be for a premium player at another position, whether that is bringing back Chase Young, potentially bringing in Joey Bosa if he was to get cut. There's lots of ability to bring in a guy at $11.6 million, in some cases, two. I mean, this could pay for Azeez Al-Shaair. This could pay for Oren Burks. You could just completely handle your linebacker position in one failed swoop. So the 49ers are very high on Aaron Banks. Don't know how they feel about Burford now, but we know Feliciano could come in on a cheaper deal and you could get some pretty good production out of him. So I look for the 49ers to not go high priced at guard, which means I don't think Robert Hunt is a legitimate option. Now, Dalton Reisner from the Minnesota Vikings, I'm actually very surprised the Vikings haven't already reached an extension with them, because he would fit what the 49ers like to do. He plays in a similar scheme right now. He does a good job of blocking, you know, to the second level. He's pretty good in pass protection as well. So Dalton Reisner, to me, would make a lot of sense for the 49ers. Just are they willing, once again, to pay the money? I think Reisner's bill wouldn't be as big as Robert Hunt, which makes him at least potentially where the 49ers could strike. $7 million like they gave to Colton McKivitz just might get it done. So I think he's an option for the 49ers at guard. Laken Tomlinson, and this is one because he's played for the 49ers before. This one makes sense. I think you could also see him potentially somewhere like Houston. That would make a lot of sense, bringing him in and playing him next to Laremy Tunsil. I think there's going to be some positions where Laken Tomlinson could go make a decent amount of money. But if he's looking to have a reunion with the San Francisco 49ers, it gets a little bit interesting. The 49ers are set at left guard with Aaron Banks, at least for one more season. Banks is entering the last year of his contract. So the 49ers don't really need left guard. They need right guard. Would Tomlinson be interested in moving to the other side? That could be a hangup in him potentially wanting to come back to San Francisco. Would the 49ers want to move Aaron Banks to right guard after 2 years of building himself at left? Banks was very good early on in the year last year, and then he struggled a little bit once he started dealing with injuries. Are the injuries the reason Banks struggled? If that's the case, 49ers might be very willing to roll with him. If they believe he's hit his ceiling and that that's the best we're going to get out of Banks, they might look at this as an opportunity to bring Laken Tomlinson in and improve at the position, in which case he would make sense. Now, Tomlinson was set to make a lot of money. Is he going to be okay with taking a lower amount of money to come back to San Francisco and then pay high taxes in a very, very not-so-friendly tax area? I think that's a big question. You could go to Houston. Now you don't have state sales tax. Those types of things are going to play huge decisions for Laken Tomlinson as he looks to decide where his next home is going to be. And then John Runyon. And John Runyon, of course, his dad played in the NFL. He's been playing for the Green Bay Packers. And he had a very slow start to his season last year. But down the stretch, John Runyon was a part of one of the better offensive lines in pass protection in the entire league. They played fantastic, and Runyon really elevated his game. So here's a guy who flies under the radar, but potentially could make a lot of sense for the 49ers. Number one, he doesn't make a lot of money. Number two, the 49ers need a guard, and he plays guard. He played in the system. He understands a very similar philosophy on how to block and play within Kyle Shanahan's system. It's not exactly the same, but LaFleur's offense has similar principles and similar rules. So it would be another incident where you bring in a guy, you plug and play, right? You have Robert Hunt, Mike McDaniel. He understands exactly how the system would be. Dalton Reisner, you got that system there, very similar to what the 49ers do. You got Lakin Tomlinson coming from the Jets, very same system, but also he played for Kyle Shanahan. And then John Runyon, like-minded guys who play within the scheme and speak the same language. Terminology-wise, it wouldn't be that hard, which means they already understand the elements to the game and the blocking style the 49ers run. That's one of the things we've heard offensive linemen and running backs talk about, is the very particular way the 49ers run their run scheme is different than everyone else, so you have to get used to it. Having guys who have ran similar philosophies makes that transition so much easier, giving these guys the ability to help the football team earlier than later. And so I think those guys are options for the 49ers at offensive line. Now let's look at the quarterback position. And I think the quarterback position is pretty interesting because Sam Darnold's more than likely going to leave. He made $4.5 million last year. Would the 49ers be willing to pay a quarterback more than $4.5 million? If they are, then Gardner Minshew makes a lot of sense. We just seen Gardner Minshew play a tremendous amount of snaps for the Colts and do a really good job and help them continue to play well. I think when it comes to Gardner Minshew, that the 49ers, if they were willing to pay $5.5 million, could probably get Gardner Minshew as a backup for Brock Purdy. That's probably the best available backup out there. So if they're willing to pay that amount, they might be able to lure Gardner Minshew. But I have a feeling the 49ers are looking for cheaper options at the quarterback position. They've got to find places to skimp so they could pay other areas. So I don't think Gardner Minshew ends up being that guy, even though I think he would be the best possible backup quarterback for the 49ers. But let's look at a guy that makes a lot of sense, somebody like Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod's been around for a while. He can win you football games. He's mobile. He can create outside the pocket. But he's been around the league. He's seen it all.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pretty good accuracy, has had a lot of success when he's actually played. He's a guy that's expected to make about $3.3 million on the open market. Veteran help for Brock Purdy in the locker room. I think that's a key as well when you're looking for a veteran, a backup quarterback. I think, you know, it makes a lot of sense for Brandon Allen. It makes a lot of sense in this case for Tyrod Taylor, someone the 49ers could look at potentially putting behind Brock Purdy. Marcus Mariota. Now, this one, Mariota has a lot of ability, but we know Kyle was interested in him a couple years ago when he was with Las Vegas. And now you've got where you brought in another young mind, Mick Lombardi. Could this be a reason to bring in Mariota? He's very familiar with them. Now, when Mariota's right, he's the guy that can be highly accurate and can definitely help your football team get through football games and manage the game. So I think, once again, Mariota would make sense. As a veteran who's been around the league for a while, understands different locker rooms and different settings, would fit nicely in the 49ers locker room. This is a great fit for him as far as locker room presence. I think he would do good. I think he would actually rise to the occasion. Could be a nice option for the 49ers. The question is, what's his money going to look like? I don't think it's going to be much, because once he left Atlanta and left midseason, I think that left a lot of teams wondering about Marcus Mariota. I don't think anyone thinks now he's quarterback one, but a still skilled enough player to be quarterback two, and he was with the Philadelphia Eagles last year. That would make sense for the 49ers. And then an old friend in Nate Sudfeld. And I think Sudfeld makes a lot of sense for the 49ers. Brock Purdy talked glowingly about Sudfeld. Sudfeld helped him along the way in 2022. Unfortunately, the 49ers' decision to keep Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy left him kind of out in the cold, and Sudfeld had to move on. But Kyle Shanahan thinks the world of Nate Sudfeld. They know he has the ability to be quarterback three, if anything. So he could be a veteran minimum guy they bring in. He could be their Brandon Allen from last year that you have sitting there just in case you need him. Nate Sudfeld, to me, makes a lot of sense whether you're drafting a young guy or to be one of those quarterbacks, or you're bringing in another veteran. Nate Sudfeld still at the quarterbacks. You bring Brandon Allen back, bring Nate Sudfeld in. You have two veteran guys who could really help nurture and continue to help Brock Purdy develop in the right way. So to me, those are the quarterbacks that I think make a lot of sense for the San Francisco 49ers. And let's talk about tight end. Tight ends, and another one that's the 49ers need a tight end too. And this is something we've talked about for years. And I've just continued to believe they were going to find someone. They're going to find someone. And last year they were very dedicated. Last year I said they're going to draft two tight ends. They drafted two tight ends. They got Cameron Latu and they got Braden Willis. And Latu just really had a really bad case of the drops in training camp. He was struggling. He struggled in the preseason a little bit, made a couple good catches. Team really rallied behind him. I love to see that. But then Braden Willis continued to elevate his game through the season, became a good blocker, and really got some time even during the Super Bowl as Ross Dwelly got hurt before the playoffs and was put on IR. But the 49ers, are they willing to hedge their bets that Cameron Latu and Braden Willis are good enough to be the tight end 2 and 3? I think this is one that the 49ers are nervous about because they've been looking for a guy that's going to be dual threat. And I think Latu has the ability to be a good receiving tight end in this league as he continues to develop. And we've seen guys take jumps from year one to year two for the 49ers. But how good of a blocker is he going to be? I didn't see it on film yet. The guy's transitioned late in his career from defensive end to tight end. So he's not that great of a blocker right now. With Braden Willis, he showed flashes as a tight end blocking, but none really a receiving. And I think that's a big question for the 49ers. Can you have a guy that's not a threat, a dual threat? Charlie Warner is a very good blocker. In fact, I want Charlie Warner back to block, but can you get a guy that's more dual threat? So when I'm looking for tight ends that are on the open market, I'm looking for two things. Number one, they have to be dual threat. They have to be able to block and they have to be able to catch. And they've got to be somewhat cheap. You can't afford to break the bank. You're paying a lot of money to George Kittle. You can't allocate too many resources to the tight end position because even though you run 12 personnel and 22 personnel, which put two tight ends on the field, you don't use that second tight end a lot in the passing attack, which probably would like to use more if you had a stable tight end. So the two options that I saw right off the bat that made a lot of sense to me because they weren't going to be too expensive, but guys who made sense as far as age and or play, or number one, Will Dissly. And I know he's been playing in Seattle, but I think they're going to put a priority on bringing other guys back. And so because of that, Dissly could be available. His market value set at about $4.4 million. I don't think the 49ers want to pay $4.4 million for a second tight end, but Dissly would give you some ability to catch the football. So I think that he's an option for the 49ers. Plus, you're plucking him out of Seattle. He already understands what they do up there. And so you're getting a guy that you're very familiar with. You've seen a lot of game film. You've seen how he blocks. You see how aggressive he is. You see how he catches the football. To me, Will Dissly would make sense for the 49ers, especially if that number could come down $1 million or so. You don't really want to allocate too many resources, but you have to make sure, because Charlie Warner being tied in three is a great situation. But you have to make sure that Cameron Latu and Braden Willis are going to be ready to go. If not, you have to get one of these guys. And the other one for me is Robert Tonyan. And Robert Tonyan was very thought about when he was in Green Bay. He had great seasons. There were times when they thought he was going to be the next George Kittle. Him and George Kittle are really good friends. They both wore number 85. Tonyan's an aggressive style guy. He blocks, catches the football, and he suffered an injury in Green Bay. And once he did, he kind of fell off a little bit. Last year, he spent time with Chicago, very cheap deal, and he had limited effectiveness. But this is a guy we've seen play in a LaFleur offense and have tremendous success when he has a quarterback that can get him the football. The problem is he hasn't always had a quarterback that can get him the football consistently. I think Jordan Love last year would have been able to get him the ball, but he was playing with Justin Fields in Chicago. So I think you've seen the problem there. He wasn't tight end one, and he didn't really have that many opportunities. Now, coming to San Francisco, he wouldn't be tight end one, but he would be tight end two on a team that likes to use two tight end sets. And he plays really well in that sort of scheme. So getting him out there, you could now play Robert Tonyan sometimes when George Kittle needs a break. Go ahead and put Tonyan out there and let him roll and let him work. I think those two would be make a great tandem. And then you wouldn't have to worry about those other two young guys. If one of them doesn't pan out, you can go ahead and move on. Gives the 49ers options. But I think Tonyan's also not going to break the bank. Because he didn't have a great season last year, he's going to be fairly cheap. I think you could get him on a vet minimum deal. Last year, he signed a vet minimum deal that had some roster bonuses and things that built it up to $2.2 million against the cap. $2.2 million against the cap, if you could get him for the same deal, would be fantastic. So to me, Robert Tonyan is a huge target for the 49ers. If I was them, that's exactly the tight end that I would want, is I would want to get Robert Tonyan to San Francisco, put him with George Kittle, one of his friends, and let these guys compete together. I think he would make a lot of sense for the 49ers, and I think he could be the dual threat tight end two they've been looking for, at least on the short term, while they figure out who these young tight ends are and potentially bring back Charlie Warner. Having those three with the two young guys going into training camp next year could make for an absolute battle. That would be fantastic to watch. And if you're looking to target a party and have something happen, why not book with Beyond the Occasion? They offer all kinds of event options, including cleanup, decor. They provide a wedding officiant MC and a day of coordinator. They cater to bridal showers, baby showers, weddings, birthday parties, and more. Everything you could possibly need for your party. Make sure to contact them. The email is in the description section down below. That's btoeventmanagement@gmail.com. Beyond the Occasion, set up your party today. So 49ers have some moves they still need to make on offense. And one position that's probably more luxury, but I want to talk about it because we've seen that the 49ers have some decisions to make. Now, I told you, it's likely the 49ers are bringing back their top three wide receivers. I think an offer sheet at least goes out to Juwan Jennings if they can't sign him to a long-term deal. They want to make sure they keep these three guys together because Kyle Shanahan's had a hard time having guys adjust to his offense in year one, especially young wide receivers. At some point, they fizzle. Sometimes they start well and they fizzle. Sometimes they never get started. Danny Gray hasn't done much in 2 years, of course, last year, injury. Ronnie Bell started well and then fizzled because he couldn't block. This is something that happens in San Francisco, so you need to make sure you, when you're getting young players, you give them time to develop. So what happens to wide receiver four? Now, I'd like to talk about what happens if something happens with Juwan and they can't get it done, and that's Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne is expected to make $4.8 million on the open market. 49ers were paying Ray McLeod around two. Could you get him to come in for $2 million? I don't know if that's the case. But if something happened and somebody did sign Juwan Jennings to an offer sheet and he left, you're getting a second-round pick back. You could use that for a young receiver if you wanted. Or you could sign a guy like Kendrick Bourne. You were already set to allocate those resources to wide receiver three for Juwan Jennings for $4.8 million. Why not do the same thing for Kendrick Bourne? They were willing to do that before he left and went to the Patriots. So I think if Juwan Jennings moves on, it makes sense. As wide receiver four, I don't. But I think that Kendrick Bourne, someone we watch as things happen with Jennings, I expect Jennings to come back. Now let's talk a little bit about those other guys, some of those wide receiver four potential guys who are going to be a little bit cheaper. First off, Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman, of course, scores the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, speed threat, played in a similar system in the New York Jets last year, was going there to play with Aaron Rodgers. Of course, it all fell apart. He ends up back with the Chiefs. But this is speed on speed on speed. And the 49ers are looking for a guy that they can have handle their kick and punt return situations. Mecole Hardman could be that guy. All the speed in the world, dynamic ability on the edges, runs the screen game, runs the fly sweeps and things like that, which could help you when you lose a guy like Debo. Debo misses a game. Some of his offense and what he does could go to Mecole Hardman. But I think him as wide receiver four makes a lot of sense. between what he can do in your offensive scheme and what he can do on special teams. What will his number look like? Not sure. But to me, Mecole Hardman would make a lot of sense for the 49ers with some of the things he could do. And because your Danny Gray experiment hasn't worked out, he could be your Danny Gray. And maybe you just move on from Danny Gray if you brought in a guy like Mecole Hardman. Now, the next one is going to be one of the ones that you've been on this channel. You know I've wanted this guy on the 49ers for a long time. It started in the draft. I was scouting wide receiver from Colorado, and that's when I first saw this guy, Laviska Shenault. And I think Laviska Shenault is a perfect fit for the San Francisco 49ers. Went to Jacksonville in the draft. They did okay with there. Then Urban Meyer didn't know what to do with him, and then eventually shipped him to Carolina. Now, he's had injury concerns, but that's part of the reason why I like him for the 49ers, because I think he's going to be cheap. But Laviska Shenault is a guy that has positionless ability. He has the ability to play Z receiver behind Deebo Samuel better than any other player in this league. I believe he has Deebo-like skills as far as he can run plays out of the backfield. He can go ahead and he can get fly sweeps. He can catch screens. He's got the ability to go down the field. He's the most like Deebo. Now, he's not Deebo. No one is. He's Deebo light. But you don't want to lose parts of your offense, right? Kyle Shanahan has talked about the fact that when Deebo goes down, you lose part of your offense. Laviska Shenault allows you to not lose parts of your offense because he can do those things. Go back and watch his college film. He did those things. Watch some of his film from in the NFL. He did those things. So to me, this would be a low-priced, high-reward type player in Laviska Shenault. Now, he did not have a good year last year in Carolina. He only played 8 games. It wasn't his best opportunity to get time on the field. But when you look back at what he did in Carolina before that, he was definitely making plays, averaging over 10 yards per reception, getting a lot of things done on the ground. He also was playing a lot of games. He played 14 in his rookie season for Jacksonville in 2020, 16 in 2021, which is a whole season. And then in 2022, you've seen the snaps go down. He only played 13 games for Carolina. Once he went from Jacksonville to Carolina, he definitely didn't get used as much. But I think Laviska Shenault is a great option for the San Francisco 49ers and an option that I would be willing to go with. Very cheap deal, prove it deal. But he's got to look at San Francisco and think, that's the offense I need to be in. And I think Kyle Shanahan would like to have a player like this, another positionless player that he could plug and play in his offense. Now, Van Jefferson, going to be another cheap option, played in McVay's Rams offense. So to me, Van Jefferson would make sense. $2.3 million, very equivalent to what you were paying Ray McLeod. And Jefferson's got speed to take it up the seam. He's a bigger body receiver. He was taught to block when he played for McVay. If you don't block in that offense, you don't play. Similar San Francisco. To me, Van Jefferson as a cheap wide receiver 4 makes a lot of sense. A guy that would ruffle a lot of feathers if he came to San Francisco is Chase Claypool. I've been a huge fan of Chase Claypool, but not his behavior. I'm not condoning his behavior at all. And in fact, when he went to Miami, he absolutely fell off last year. But he did play for Mike McDaniel in that system. He is a big body receiver that showed a lot of ability at 6'5" and 240 pounds. Could the 49ers kick the tires on him? Now, you don't want to bring in a guy that's going to be bad in the locker room, but if there's ever a locker room that is going to be able to insulate itself with a guy like Chase Claypool, it's the 49ers. And I think you kick the tires. Kyle's been looking for a big body receiver that can do things down the field, and Chase Claypool could be that guy. I think they give him a call, see what's up. They would not want to pay him a lot of money. And to be honest with you, the whole off-the-field stuff annoys me, but I think he did a good job in Miami last year, so maybe he's turning it around, but his value has definitely dropped. It could be an ability. And then Greg Dortch played in Arizona. The reason I say Greg Dortch, crazy speed, special teams option. And so those are reasons to bring someone in, especially wide receiver 4 or 5. 49ers often play just 4 or 5 wide receivers, never 6. So I think Greg Dortch would make sense, especially if he comes in, the gadget type guy that can help you in special teams. To me, Dortch would make sense for the 49ers as a return guy, which they do have to look to fill that role as well. And running back, I've already talked about him once, Tavon Ahmed. I think he makes the most sense as a veteran running back
for the 49ers to potentially bring in as wide receiver four or I'm sorry, running back four. To me, that makes the most sense. I don't think they're going to go expensive, but Ahmed has already spent most of a training camp at the 49ers, played in the Miami system for Mike McDaniel. This is a easy transition for him. He's still only 25 years old, young guy, a lot of speed, a dual threat running back. He could do it out of the backfield as well. So to me, that makes sense. So these are some offensive free agent targets. Let me know if there's guys I didn't mention. Put them in the comment section so I can see and that way I can look at them. Couldn't catch them all, but I'm trying to do my best to find guys who make sense for the 49ers financially. So let me know what you guys think of this. 49ers cutback, unbelievable. Please give it a 5-star rating. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. I'll catch you guys in the next one. Until then, stay safe. Remember, the right way is always the 49ers.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.